Welcome to the FishExplorer.com's Fly Fishing Podcast. This is a show where we talk about everything from how to fish, where to fish, what to fish for, and whatever else we want to talk about. We will talk to the legends of fishing, guides, fishermen, and anybody else who wants to talk fishing. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. This week's Fly Fishing Podcast on FishExplorer.com is brought to you by Teva Mountain Games and the Two Fly Extreme Championship, a fly fishing competition where you learn how to cast a rod, or actually you don't learn, you make sure you know how to cast a rod. You cast into hoops, then you go to the bridge in the middle of Vail Village, and then you go to get to fish on the river. Great event, your chance to win prizes, including $1,000 for first place. June 4th through the 7th, the Teva Mountain Games, a huge fun event going there in Vail, Colorado. Our podcast is also brought to you by Big Earth Publishing. You can check out any of the books or authors that we talk about in the next couple of weeks on the podcast at BigEarthPublishing.com, a great place to find fly fishing publications. And this week's podcast, it is my pleasure to introduce, or somebody who is really doesn't need an introduction because he's been part of the fly fishing community for years, for probably 8 years, as a matter of fact. How do we know that? He caught his first fish on a fly rod at 3 years old. He has been tying flies. He has written 2 books. He has done all kinds of stuff that makes real older men feel jealous because they don't fly fish nearly as good as him. Our guest, Tyler Beefus from Montrose, Colorado, or Delta, Colorado, is our guest. He is the author of 2 books, including A Kid's Guide to Fly Tying and A Kid's Guide to Fly Fishing. He'll have a DVD out later on this summer, and it is a pleasure that I got to interview him. At the end of the show, we'll talk about what's going on fishing-wise in the area and let you know how good it is. But until then, sit back, relax, talk, and listen to me interview one of the great new kids in fly fishing, because it's Kids Month on FishExplorer.com. Good evening, morning, afternoon, everybody. This is Tim Fishman Emery on the FishExplorer.com Fly Fishing Podcast. FishExplorer.com is a place where you can find out all the information about fishing lakes, rivers, streams, anything you want to fish in Colorado, and a fantastic way to learn more information. This week's special guest, and I mean special, is a kid out of the Grand Junction area, the Delta area to be more specific. His name is Tyler Beefus, and he is an author, a fly tire, a fly fisherman, everything else, an amazing student, and just one of the cool guys in the new age of fly fishing. Tyler, how are you?
I'm doing good, Tim. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for coming on the show. You know, this week and this month here at Fly Fisher, Fly Explorer, Tyler, it's been a long day, at FishExplorer.com, we're doing a kids fly fishing month, and you are the perfect guy to interview for this, and I appreciate that. Tell us a little bit more about your fly fishing experience.
Well, you know, at a very young age, I started fly fishing. My parents started me out right as a little guy. I started tying flies when I was, pretty young. I can't remember how young I was, to tell you the truth. That's how long ago it was. But I would sit on my dad's lap. He would put his hand over mine on the bobbin, and we would sit there for hours on end tying flies together.
and I think I've read somewhere you started like at 18 months old.
Yeah. I mean, even at an early stage, my parents started taking me fishing too. They would put me in a baby backpack carrier, take me out on the river. My dad, he would hook fish, and then he would hand the rod back to me, and I would reel him in.
Well, I've got a 14-month-old son, and I don't know if he's quite ready for that yet or not, but hopefully here in 4 months he will be. Tell us a little bit more about your tying experience and what you've really focused on, especially in the last few years, as you've been learning more about tying flies?
Well, you know, in the last few years, I've been really focusing on trying to get more children, or get more beginners in general, involved in this art and of fly tying and just into fly fishing in general. But I really focused on children because they're going to be the next generation of fly fishing and fly tying. So I've written two books now. The first one, A Kid's Guide to Fly Fishing, and the second, A Kid's Guide to Fly Tying. And I really focus on the basics of it all, trying to get kids pumped up, excited about all the wonderful things that you can do with those two, with these two fun activities that are right here.
And tell me, what is your real main focus in getting these kids? How do you get these kids interested in and into both the tying and the fishing part of it?
Oh, I think in different ways. I do slide programs. My books, I think, inspire a lot of people, and they think it's pretty cool and stuff. So they end up picking up a book and start reading it. And they say, oh, wow, well, this is kind of cool. Maybe I should look into this.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see some people at a show somewhere. They'll talk to me about different stuff. I'll give them tips, try to give them advice, do all that I can to help them out. And most of the time it results in a few people getting started with all their with fly tying or fly fishing, whatever it may be.
And I've looked at both your books, and in fact, your books are published by Big Earth Publishing, which is one of our sponsors this week. But I started reading your Kid's Guide to Fly Tying, and I've tied flies for years and years, and you know, just got to the point in my tying career that I kind of, unfortunately, don't have any time to do it anymore. But I started reading through your book, and it brought back all the memories of how easy it is and how a good book can simplify it. And your book really makes it easy, because I know a lot of people are scared to start tying flies or scared to fly fish because they think it's so hard.
Right.
What do you think? What do you think makes fly fishing and fly tying actually a lot easier than most people think?
You know, I think that a lot of people, they get confused that it's going to be a really hard thing to do because, say they go to a show, you see some really great tier tying some flies, maybe a super realistic guy, like Bill Logan. I don't know if you've heard of him,
mm-hmm.
But ties really ultra-realistic flies. They see that, oh, wow, you know, that looks pretty hard. Am I going to be able to do that? They move on, you know, maybe see a few other simpler flies, and then they'll see some other harder techniques and stuff with salmon flies or something like that. But that comes later. That's all just for pleasure. They don't fish those flies. They don't do that stuff with it. Start with the basics. Start with stuff that's simple. Fly tying is not hard. You just have to think, have fun, keep it easy, keep it simple, stick to the basics. That's all you need to do. It's a lot easier than what you see.
I think you hit
all these like different tools, all these harder techniques and stuff. Just basic techniques. Just knowing how to do a simple wet finish, a simple dub body, a simple tail, simple palmered hackle, just things like that are going to make it a whole lot easier to get started.
Yep, I think you hit the nail on the head. And one thing that I've noticed on my, I'm not a creative tier. I just tie to get things in the water. In fact, some of the guys who have seen my fly box think that I tie the ugliest flies in the world. But the one key I find is that they actually catch fish, and that's the most important part, don't you think?
Yeah, and I mean, when you get into fly tying and stuff, I really think that when you get, when people buy their flies from a shop, I have done it a few times, And I've really felt my confidence level maybe go down just a little bit when I fish their flies, because I don't feel as confident because I didn't make them. And you really feel that difference when you start tying your own flies. You feel, well, I tied this. I think it's going to really work. You take it out. You start fishing it. You have confidence in it. You fish it maybe just a little bit harder because you know that you can recreate it. And then you catch a few fish. Wow, really, I can tie flies and catch fish on them. I want to keep doing this. That's what I think motivates people, is tying their own flies and then catching fish on them.
I think you're exactly right. I do a lot of tying for competition stuff for the Fly Fishing National Championships, and I never can find flies out of the shops that have enough weight for me because I can't use an indicator and I can't use split shot, so I need to design my own flies that really sink. And being able to have that aspect in my repertoire is huge. Is that kind of the stuff that you think about, is more the way your flies are performing?
I think about that and just the way that they're going to look and act in the water. I mean, some of it's going to be how they move, but combine those two and you're going to get the perfect fly. If you think about how it needs to perform all around, the way it moves, how fast it sinks, whatever it needs to do, when you think about it all, that's what I think the goal is, to try to imitate with fly tying, is try to imitate those certain bugs, certain bait fish, whatever it may be, try to make it mimic and do everything the same as that real fish or bug or whatever it is, do what it would do in real life. In the real world.
And that's fantastic. Tyler, you are more of a man right now than a lot of people I know who fly fish, and I'm very impressed by your knowledge and your information. We're going to take a quick little break and get a drink of water and clear our heads, and then we're going to come back. And while we're doing this, we're going to pay some bills, including the fact that Big Earth Publishing publishes your books, so you can go log on to BigEarthPublishing.com to find your books. And you also have a website. Is that right?
Yes, I do.
What's your website?
It's TylerBeefus.com.
All right, cool. So, Tyler, we're going to take a quick break, then we'll come back and continue this and learn more about the fishing aspect of what you do, okay?
All right, sounds good.
The Teva Mountain Games are coming to Vail, Colorado, June 4th through the 7th. Do you have what it takes to be the 2009 Teva Mountain Games Costa Del Mar Two Fly Extreme Champion? To do so, you will need to be able to cast accurately, huck for distance, and control nervousness you have never felt before while holding a fly rod. Oh yeah, you better be able to fish too. Both professional and amateur anglers are welcome. There's a $1,000 first place prize as part of the competition. Also, the Teva Mountain Games is the nation's largest celebration of mountain sports, lifestyle, and music, featuring professional and amateur athletes from around the world. The adventure sporting event hosts approximately 3,000 athletes who converge on Vail's mountains and rivers to compete in 7 sports and 21 disciplines for over $100,000 in prize money. The games also include a photography competition, an interactive demo and exhibition area, doc dog competitions, free nightly concerts, and mountain lifestyle parties. For more information, check out www.tevamountaingames.com or call 888-883-VAIL. That's 888-883-VAIL or 8245. We'll see you there. Teva Mountain Games, Vail, Colorado, June 4th through the 7th. And we are back on the Fly Fishing Podcast here on FishExplorer.com. My special guest today is none other than Tyler Beefus, one of the best-known, newest-age kids in the fly fishing world. I don't think there's anybody who is as confident or knows as much about fly fishing as you do, at least not that I've met yet. And there may be some people out there that know other kids that are almost as smart as you. I don't know, but it's my job here while I'm interviewing you to, you know, make sure you feel good about yourself. So I hope that's working. Is that working, Tyler?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Tyler, tell us a little bit more about your fishing, because we just talked quite a bit about your tying. But tell us more about your fishing and where you've seen your evolution of fishing go from maybe as a beginner up to the intermediate and to the expert that you have become. And tell us a little bit about that transition as, you know, a young kid.
You know, like I said, I started really young, in a baby backpack carrier fishing. But as I got older, you know, I started to walk, I started to wait a little bit, and then I finally felt confident, you know, that I could do it all on my own. And so the day before my third birthday, my dad took me out onto the Uncompahgre River, close to my house here, actually, and we were fishing for a while. We walked around, we were looking at some different water, we were talking about it, and then my dad saw a really nice hole, and he said, "Okay, Tyler, I'm going to let you have this one. Go up there and make a few casts off of that rock." It was a nice flat rock. I get up on top of it, I make a few casts. I don't know how many casts it took for me to finally get into a fish, but one of my casts, I cast it straight up into the current. I let it drift down, and then when it was right in front of me, the indicator went down, and my dad said, "Set the hook, Tyler, set the hook. I'm like, "All right." So I set the hook, and I ended up catching my very first fish on my own, and it was a 17-inch brown trout. And so that's really, I think, that was one of my first real accomplishments that I think I had.
Now, Tyler, you were 3 years old when you did this?
Yeah.
3 years old?
Yes.
And this was with a fly rod?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. You're my hero. Wow. I don't even know if... 3 years old, I can't even remember what I was doing. Now, do you remember this story, or did your dad tell you this story a bunch?
No, I remember this. This is totally by memory.
Fantastic. All right, tell us your next steps after that. What? I'm sure you were hooked instantly then, and you know, tell us kind of what else has been happening.
Well, after that, I mean, a few years passed. I was just fishing, having fun, doing a few expos every once in a while. It was starting to grow. I was having more fun with it, getting better at my fly tying, my casting, getting better at everything. And then I went to Alaska, actually, in 2006, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
Or, no, 2004, actually.
So 5 years
and
ago.
And I... Huh?
5 years ago.
Yeah, 5 years ago. So I was 6 years old when I went to Alaska. And while I was there, I actually caught my first IGFA junior world record, which was a she-fish. It was 7 pounds. I caught it on a fly rod, so I hold the junior world record for she-fish now. And then I think that's probably... that was my biggest accomplishment at that time. And I didn't really realize what I had done at first until I had really, they send out a little, certificate and a little brochure with it for the month, of all the world records, of a certain number of months, and I saw my picture in it holding that she-fish. And then it really, I think it kind of clicked there, and I was like, "Oh, wow, I really did something big. People like it."
Mm-hmm.
And And then I think that kind of sparked my, it really sparked my passion for the sport even more.
Now, Tyler, tell me, throughout this whole experience of your journey, your parents, who I know pretty well and have talked to many times, have they pressured you? How have they let you grow in this so that, you know, I know that we've got a lot of dads and grandpas and probably moms listening to us. They want to know how to get their kids into fishing, how to make it fun for them. Tell me how your parents have treated you and kind of built you up in this way.
You know, at first, I was really, really little when I started, like I've said many times. And so I really probably, I don't think I knew really what I was getting into at the start of it all. But just sitting there, and I liked all the colors of the feathers. I liked all the stuff that was in front of me. I thought it was really cool and fascinating as a little kid. And then as I grew, I think that my patience level grew with it too. From just being little, watching, learning, having the patience to sit there and like look at all the tools and all the shiny stuff, and then growing older and still having that patience level and wanting to do it, and then just growing up and doing it all the way through to where I am now. But there really has been no pressure from my parents at all.
So your parents let you do whatever you want?
Yes, they let me pick and choose. If I don't want to do a specific show, okay, you don't have to do that one.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. My dad said if it's not fun anymore, he's told me this, if you don't feel like this is fun anymore, you aren't liking it, if you do start feeling like we're pressuring you, go ahead and just stop for a while. Take a break.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's supposed to be fun and all. But so far, I never felt like there's been any pressure from anybody in my family. No one's pushed me at all to do anything with my books. I wanted to do both of those books. I'm trying to work on a third right now for casting. And I'm working on a DVD, which will be coming out later this year. But all of it's stuff that I want to do. Everyone's been really supportive, though, of my choices in this industry. And everyone's tried to help out, I think, in every way that they can.
Mm-hmm. And so if you had a piece of advice for a father out there, okay, let's say me, what would you tell me to do with my, you know, he's 14 months old now, but as he grows up, what would you tell me to work on him with, to teach him, or would you kind of just, let him learn on his own?
Well, you know, I really think that it's the parents who, at a younger age, the children or younger kids are not going to really have the interest and the attention span that they might have when they're older. And so they're not going to be able to focus as long just on their own. If you give them a rod, say, okay, you can practice casting. 5 minutes later, they're going to come to you and say, this isn't fun.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to tell you something that they're not liking it or something's happening. I really think that parents need to really stay with their children, help them out. It's a very encouraging sport. You have to encourage others, or it's good to encourage others. That's what I think has really helped me out, too, is the encouragement from others. There's so many people. I have friends in Japan that have helped me along the way everywhere. And then I really think it's just having fun. If the child starts feeling, oh, well, I really am kind of feeling like I'm getting pushed. Take a break for maybe a little while. Not like months and months and months. Maybe a few hours if you're on the river. Let them take an hour or so. Let them play in the water. Let them collect some rocks. Let them look at bugs. So, if you're looking at bugs, maybe talk a little bit about them. Take a break from your fishing, because that's all a learning experience too for fly fishing. That's gonna help their fly tying later on. They're gonna remember, oh yeah, Dad taught me something about this bug. I remember like how many legs it had, or how many segments in its legs. If they're trying to do super realistic when they're older. Just all those little things are gonna help out. Oh yeah, I remember when Mom gave me some tip with my casting. Just things like that are gonna help. Everything, just encouraging, making it fun, supporting, doing everything that you can to help.
Tyler, that is some amazing insight, and for all our listeners out there, I hope you take this to heart, and this is from a true kid who has really developed into a fly fisherman, not only into a fly fisherman, but a good person. Tyler, tell me, how old are you again right now?
I'm 11 right now.
You're 11 right now, and you talk like you're 25. Which is fantastic. Tyler, tell us again where we can find your books, where we can find you if we want to email you or get a hold of you. I know you've got a huge busy schedule with school, and you're going on a trip to Japan here next week, which is fantastic. I know you're studying Japanese. Tell us how to get a hold of you if they want to, or where to find your books and so forth.
Well, you can buy my books from my website. You can buy them on Amazon.com. You can buy them directly from the publisher at JohnsonBooks.com. And you can buy them in most fly shops and bookstores around the country, I believe.
Uh-huh. I think you're right. And Big Earth Publishing is one of the other websites that your publisher does, and I know they're one of our sponsors, so the link's up on the side of this podcast when you're listening to it. Tell us your website again.
It's TylerBeefus.com.
TylerBeefus.
And when you come on to the front page, down at the bottom there's a contact sign, and if you click on that, you can email me. And while I'm in Japan, every day I'll try to return the messages emails that I get while I'm there. I'll be trying to blog every day and talk about my experiences of the day while I'm there, and putting new pictures and stuff up. So,
well, Tyler,
definitely I'm checking my website out while I'm there.
All right. It's TylerBeefus.com to check it out. We'll have a link up on the bottom of this page here at FishExplorer.com. That is fantastic. I appreciate all your time. Now, I know you got to go get some sleep so you can get healthy so you can go to Japan and enjoy. But, Tyler, I hope we get to do this again real soon.
Absolutely.
And I hope we get to go fishing sometime together, because it would be a true honor for me to fish with you.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks. Have a good time, buddy, and we'll talk to you soon.
You too.
Well, I will tell you what, that was one of the coolest interviews I have ever done. Tyler Beefus is really one of the nicest kids I have ever met. As you could hear, he is eloquent. He knows what he's talking about. He doesn't talk like an 11-year-old, that's for sure. I would have guessed he was 20, 25, except for his very high-pitched voice, but it is awesome, and his parents have been doing a wonderful job. Brad is his dad, and he works at Ross Reels, and it's just a pleasure to know that there are guys like this in the fishing industry, especially fly fishing, teaching their kids how to do this. This month on FishExplorer.com, if you haven't noticed yet, or if you are wondering what I've been talking about with the kids' photo contest, we are getting that started here in the next day or two. Your chance to get your kids' pictures uploaded on the site. We're going to have contests. You're going to try and get as many votes as possible. So call grandma, grandpa, send them the links, let them vote for your kids' pictures. Winning votes, depends on your age, get all kinds of good prizes, and including for the older kids, the 12 to 16, I believe, get a chance to go fishing with me. We'll go fly fishing with your a parent and the child who is in the picture. Hopefully they can join us. We will get to go fishing. We'll go somewhere on the rivers, or we'll do whatever you want to do and learn how to fish however you want to with me. So that's going to be a great event. So make sure you get out there, get your pictures up, and get the vote out, and tell all your friends about it. FishExplorer.com, of course. River conditions. The most important river condition right now is the Arkansas River. The caddis are in Salida. Just got a report from Arc Angler. So if you want to get on some caddis, go check them out. The bluings are also there. We've only got about another week or two left of this amazing hatch, because once the weather starts to really warm up, we're going to see runoff come down hard. A little secret, though, is you might want to check out the eagle above Wolcott, because that should be fishing real well right now. I've had reports that there are caddis in the river, and as long as it doesn't get too warm, that water should stay pretty good, and you'll see caddis flying around. So the eagle's good. Roaring Fork's pretty much blown out, but the Frying Pan is a great place to be, and the Blue River is just fishing fantastic. So get up there, get fishing, make sure you have a good time, and guess what? The lakes are started up. Everything is good. It's springtime in the Rockies. So next week's guest is going to have something to do with kids as well. So be looking for all this kids information here on the website, fishexplorer.com. If you have any questions or comments, please email me at tim@fishexplorer.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at timfishmanemery. And I will give you up to date what's going on. It's just short. It's quick. It's easy. It's much easier than writing a blog. So check us all out. Hope you have a good one. This week's podcast was brought to you by the Teva Mountain Games, June 4th through the 7th in Vail, Colorado, a celebration of the mountain lifestyle. Check them out at tevamountaingames.com. Also brought to you by Big Earth Publishing. You can find all of Tyler's books at Big Earth Publishing. Also Barry Reynolds, Kirk Warner's, and all kinds of great fly fishing books. So make sure you check them out. Thank you very much to Tyler Beefus for letting us do the interview. And we will talk to you again next week. Make sure you get out there.